Welcome to Bar Fights with attorney and advocate Sarah Klein, taking on issues that matter and advocating for legal, cultural, and political change everywhere in order to protect children and vulnerable adults. Joining the conversation are survivors, advocates, lawyers, media personalities, athletes, celebrities, authors, wellness aficionados, and many more. Because bringing real justice takes a team of experts who care. Now, leading the fight is your host, Sarah Klein.
You guys, she was on fire on this show last week. We are talking to founder of Aaron's Law. She's going to tell us more about it this week. I have so many burning questions that I didn't get answered last week, but she's a trailblazer. She is making it her mission to keep children safe. And what she's been able to accomplish is absolutely insane. Aaron, welcome back to Bar Fights.
Thanks for having me.
I love you. And here's what I want to know. I want to know why you think it is that when you're bringing something like Aaron's Law, which could only help kids, it could not harm kids, to a legislature, to a school board, to whoever, that some adults have the instinct to turn the other way, to want to avoid it, to fight, actively fight against it. What is that? And how can we continue to break that down?
So some of my biggest hurdles that I've faced over the last, 15 years is, Aaron, this is an unfunded mandate. I agree. We need to talk to kids about this. How are schools going to afford the curriculum to purchase this? And that has been a big issue. I have worked around that. I got a bill passed on the federal level with U.S. Senator Gillibrand under the Every Student Succeeds Act, Aaron's Law, federal bill passed that provides federal funding. That was in 2015. However, some of these states like Arizona, I said, I got the money. And they said, Aaron, we don't have the funding because the $16 million we were given to go towards Aaron's Law also goes towards DARE, bully intervention, lockdown drills, other educational health and safety things. And we used all that money, so we have none left to teach Aaron's Law. So they always come back with some kind of argument with me. So one way I am now eliminating that is I have had the Aaron's Law 501c4 that lobbies for me to go and testify in all these states. I just got, after 8 months, my 501c3 status for the Aaron's Law Foundation, because with this foundation, the whole vision and goal is to educate, empower kids and survivors, adults, on the prevention of sexual abuse, but it's also to provide the free curriculum where we no longer have to say this is an unfunded mandate. I am literally handing it to you and saying, here it is, it's created, evidence-based, for you to log on to my website, access the curriculum, kindergarten to 12th grade. The K through 6 is currently going to be, is in development and will be ready this summer for the next school year. So you can't make the argument with me anymore that this is an unfunded mandate, because I'm literally handing it to you free. I'm going to get it translated into a bunch of languages. That's the next step, so that we can reach our ESL students. So that has been one of the biggest hurdles. The other hurdle is this fear and misconception that this is sex ed. You're teaching our first graders about abortion, about how to have sex, about, no, that is not what this is. A lot of, there's this whole movement now with this transgender, and people, the ultra conservatives, think, I've had Christian groups come after me. I'm a Christian, but they've come after me thinking I'm trying to get taught, teach our first graders that, hey, you can change your gender and be a boy tomorrow if you want, be a girl tomorrow. No, this has nothing to do with it. This is teaching kids safe and unsafe touch, safe and unsafe secrets, 5 safe adults that you can identify and go to if you're being abused. Like, this is a no-brainer. It has nothing to do with what gender you are or, you know, what an abortion is. It's completely has nothing to do with that. So that's been another big issue that I've had to address and head on with some organizations, some legislators, and some of these. And it's the reason why the bill has died lately in several of these states like Nebraska, Arizona, some of these ultra conservative red states that are pushing back. And the other issue I get from school boards, other, organizations that work in the schools, school board associations, things like that, superintendents, we don't have enough time to teach this. We already have all these other state standards, tests we have to do, this, this, this. And I look at them, I go, I'm asking for one freaking hour. That's it. You can't give up 1 hour? I was recently speaking in Ohio, and it was to a bunch of superintendents, a conference I was brought to. And the superintendent came up to me. He goes, I'm going to admit something to you. When I heard about this and this was passed, all I thought is, this is just one more thing we have to teach. We have time for this. He goes, and you have just convinced me how important this is. What can I do to get you in front of all of my principals, teachers, because they need to hear this. And one of the most important stories I now use, and I get in front of legislators and say, and I tell parents when they come to me and say they don't want their kid to be taught this. New York killed my bill for 8 years, year after year after year. I came back. One particular woman who was the chair of education killed the bill every year because she was against legislators telling school districts what to do. She felt that should be left to the Department of Ed. So she refused every year. She allowed my bill to die. And that's what people need to understand when it comes to your legislators, the people you vote into office. Just because you vote for someone in office, that person that chairs the education committee, if they don't like your bill that you're trying to pass, they don't have to give any of the other legislators an opportunity to read it. They just kill it. I'm not going to call it for a hearing. And that's what this woman did every single year for 8 years, killing my bill. I kept coming back. And you know what I said in her letter and to all the other senators and representatives in New York? One day I will bring you the proof of why I did not stop fighting so hard. I went on the national media, CBS This Morning, with actress Juliana Margulies, who became, right on board with me, trying to help me get this passed in her home state. And she eventually stepped down, this representative that was killing the bill. I got a new chair who championed it, got behind it. We got it passed in 2019. Governor Cuomo, and we found out what kind of a man he is, was refusing to sign it. And because he took so long to sign it, it took me going to the media. Something you want to, I tell people, how do you get a bill passed? I get people like, if you want to get a bill passed, go to the media, have a story written up. That is how you do it. And when legislators are not listening and killing your bill, go to the media again. And that's exactly what I did. Governor Cuomo doesn't want to sign a bill that's going to protect children from abuse. Hey, that makes you look really bad. I thought it was going to be a little blurb in the paper. Front huge story, one of New York's biggest newspapers, the New York City Daily News, my face and Cuomo's face. Cuomo won't sign Aaron's law. He signed it the next day. You get the media involved? They don't like that. I've learned something after 15 years, what works and what doesn't. He signed the next day. However, because he wasted 2 months, the schools did not have to start teaching it for a whole nother year. And so when it finally was required in the 2020-2021 school year, an organization, it was called the Children's Advocacy Center in upstate New York, went into teach Aaron's Law in an elementary school. It was their first year doing it, first time in this elementary school. Nine kids in that one elementary school came forward that day and said they were being sexually abused. All nine of them were saying the same man was sexually abusing them. No, not the stranger that lived on their street. No, the principal. For 15 years, this principal was molesting dozens, because when it went to trial, 26 boys took the stand. And I guarantee you, there's more that have not spoken up, because the shame they carry is just far too deep that they don't want to tell anybody what the principal did. But for 15 years, this man sexually abused in his office multiple boys. Some of these boys got on the stand. One 19-year-old got on the stand, said this happened for years in elementary school, sometimes every week. And he said, no amount of therapy will ever help me get over what this man did to me. And think about this for a minute. Had this representative not killed my bill for 8 years, there were 8, 9, 10-year-olds on the stand testifying against this man who were 2, 3, and 4, and not even in school when they could have passed this bill and put this piece of garbage behind bars a lot sooner. So this is the perfect example of somebody we trust, we know of high authority that abused kids, was doing it to multiple children who could have been stopped, and finally was once Aaron's law was passed. He was convicted, 63 years in prison, and, you know, this explosive national news story. And now I take all those newspaper articles and I bring them to legislators and say, do you want the kids in your state to be the next one? Because there's a predator just like them. And you're going to see a story just like this. It might not be the principal. Maybe next time it's going to be the coach. It's going to be the custodian. It's going to be the bus driver. You name it. But it's going to happen again. And I will bring that to you and send you that email when that news story happens. Because this law is stopping these predators.
Yes. And do you want to have that blood on your damn hands?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, you want the blood of a child? I mean, when you think statistically in that those 8 years of that bill being killed in New York, what the numbers are of kids that were abused in the schools or wherever that could have been saved, that's thousands and thousands and thousands of children. And like you said, it's not just saving them from that one instant or two instants or dozens of instances of abuse. It's saving them from a lifetime of living with massive, massive struggles, problems, issues. It's robbing that child of a future. And I get the case when the kids finally come forward, right? Like I get it when it's already gone too far, but what you're doing is stopping it maybe before it even starts, or snipping it in the bud, or exposing these people before they get the chance to ruin
another life,
right?
I mean, and as a result of what happened to me, you know, I don't let my kids go to overnights.
Oh, they hell no.
They hell never, no. Ever sleep over at somebody's house.
Ever.
Daughter finally understands. She always would come to me, why does this person and this person all get overnights and I don't get to? Or the big slumber party, birthday party. You see all the parents do with the cute little teepee tents and all the girls with their eye masks. And she hears about it. And I'm like, sorry, honey, I'm not going to do it. Finally, she came to me and said, Mom, why did you pass Aaron's law? She hears about it in school. She was just taught it 2 weeks ago. And the health teacher goes, Abby, how am I doing? He was all nervous. You're going to report back to Mom. But she asked me, Mom, why did you pass this law? Why did you go after it? So I had to sit my 9-year-old down in an age-appropriate way, tell her what happened to me. And she goes, that's why you don't let us have sleepovers. It all makes sense now. I go, yes, I'm not being the mean mom. I'm doing it to protect you. Now, I can't put my kids in a bubble. I know that. And I'm not, you know, I've gotten some outlash in on the internet saying, oh, my God, she's ruining her children's childhood because of her abuse. She's putting it on them and scarring them from being. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to hear it. You parent your way and I'll parent my way. Okay. And, you know, it's just, you know, and you know what? And I get backlash like that. And I just look the other way because it is not worth the risk. Like I like to tell people, I'd rather have my kids in therapy one day because they didn't get to go to all the sleepovers. They missed spa day than end up having my kids in therapy someday for living with what happened at the overnights. Because I don't want them to carry around the wheel of files I have in my head of the most evil, awful things that happened to me that would literally give people nightmares and make you wonder how someone, how such scum can live and breathe, that someone could be that evil. But yeah.
Amazing. We're parenting the exact same way. So it's great to meet another non-sleepover technology when you're, you know, 45 years old or, you know, whatever. And I'm sure you see too, and it's important to mention, it's the access to the child doesn't always start in person with this, so all the social media stuff. Now we're seeing a whole new level of adults gaining predatory access to children, or maybe it is your coach at your school who's now DMing you, you know, stuff like that. So that's a whole extra added component. But you know what really killed, like it blew my mind, was when this came up and I was talking to some a child safety expert, and she mentioned Aaron's law, I had never heard of it, and I am mortified to say that. And I looked at everything that you've done and been on and whatever, and I've since watched all that, and I'm thinking, if I don't know about this, if I don't know about this, I leave and breathe the same exact things that you do all day, every day. What about that average parent in the school who doesn't know how to advocate for this law, or those parents in the states where this hasn't been passed? They don't even know what they're missing. I'll tell you a quick story. You are bringing me back to the 80s with the topic of DARE, right? And that was the most that I ever had. And then we had like maybe like 5 minutes of like sexual, whatever they called it, teaching about having a period and stuff,
Yep,
but
I remember
more
that.
like sex ed, they called it. And that was more about like anatomically, boys have penises, girls have vaginas. So it wasn't teaching you
No.
anything. But then I'm 18 years old. I was old for my grade. And so the fall of my senior year in high school, I turned 18 years old. And I'm sitting in my public school health class. And they pass around little cards that say, and I still have mine because it was so like, you still have your DARE card. I still have this card. And it said on the front, I am a sexually aware and responsible teen. And on the back, it says, I promise never to have sex until I'm married. And then you had to sign it. And I was 18 years old. And in public high school, I'm signing something promising that I'm going to be a virgin for, until I'm married. But yet, nobody ever told me about, safe touch. Nobody ever taught me about, good touch and bad touch. Nobody ever, right? So it's like they're willing to have me commit to never using drugs and being a virgin until I'm married, but they're not willing to teach me about what's good touch or bad touch, or the signs I should be looking for, or those kinds of things. And that just puts it in perspective so much. And what we've learned since then about child sexual abuse, I mean, the fact that this wasn't in the schools then blows my mind, but there's no excuse with
For sure.
what we know today about this not being taught to
And
kids.
one thing I do tell parents, because there's parents that are leery, and you know what I tell them? I said, I like to tell them the story of the mom that reached out to me. She said, I'm one of those parents that do talk to my kids about this. And schools, we can't take away parental rights. So parents still get a letter that comes home and says, Aaron's Law is going to be taught. Do you want to opt your child out? People will say, well, then Aaron, the ones that are abusing their kids are going to opt them out. It's very low statistics that both mom and dad are sexually abusing a child. It's usually a dad, stepdad that is doing it. And if they make a big scene about not wanting their child to be taught this, that's going to raise red flags with mom. And I don't know what it was like in your household growing up, but in mine and in my kids, my husband never looks at anything. Any of the forms that come home, my mom read them all. She knew about the field trips. She knew about this and that and when this was going in this, school fun fair, that kind of stuff. And that's how it is for me. So I tell people, I go, I would rather get this passed and have an opt out in rich majority of kids than not reach any of them at all. And I ask schools all the time, did you have any kids opt out? And there's always like, oh, we had one kid in our school district. I mean, our school that was opted out. We had two. And a lot of times it was because the child was sexually abused and they're afraid it's going to traumatize them and trigger them. So they sit out. And this one mom reached out to me in Oklahoma and said, I want you to use my story as an example. Tell other parents that are questioning or coming against your law, because I talked to my kids about this since they were two. And my daughter knows all about personal body safety. And so when your letter came home, I was very concerned about what was going to be taught. I wanted to know. Called the principal and said, I want to know what's being taught. But he didn't have like the actual curriculum to show me. He kind of just went over personal body safety. And after I talked to him, I still was not settled on if I was going to let my daughter, listen to your lesson. But it bothered me because, Aaron, if I sign this form saying I want my daughter opt out, and that principal told me she'll sit in the library while her classmates learn it, I don't want this red flag put on my family that, oh, what are they hiding? Are they someone abusing, someone in the household? Do we need to keep an eye on this kid? All because, of my personal concerns about what is being taught to my child. She goes, it wasn't until the night before that I decided, okay, I'll let her sit through this and find out and talk to her when she gets home and find out. So what did you learn with Aaron's Law? And she goes, Aaron, there was one kid that disclosed they were being sexually abused in my daughter's elementary school. And that child was mine. And I came this close, Aaron, to signing that piece of paper, and my father would still be molesting her. And she goes, please use my story for any parent that thinks, oh, I've talked to my kids about this, because it took somebody else to teach my kid to get her to come forward. Because my father was telling her that he would kill me. I'll kill your mom if you tell anybody. So it took someone in the school coming in and teaching her daughter to finally give this kid the courage of, I need to tell, I will be safe, nothing, to get this girl to come forward. And
Got tears in my eyes. I literally just got chills.
From that story and what happened in New York, these are the examples I now bring to legislators and say, hey, mom and dad, listen, hey, this is why we need to pass this.
Oh, you're incredible. Do you have a hit list of states where this is not passed that you want to share with my listeners, or we can
Yeah.
wait?
Yes, if, I mean, if you go to my website, aaronslaw.org, or the Aaron's Law Facebook page, you'll see a map at the top and I'll show you what states. But to throw it out there offhand, the states that have been the most difficult: Arizona, Nebraska, North Carolina, Kentucky, Iowa, Wisconsin. Those have been some very, very hard states to get it passed in. Massachusetts hasn't passed it, South Dakota, Idaho, what other states? There's a total of 12 of them. Hawaii. But yes, so these 12 states that have not currently, Kansas is another one, have passed it. I asked people, and you don't have to live in the state, write them. If you have a personal story and this happened to you and how it could have helped you speak up and tell, let them hear it. Be a voice for other kids to help push to get this passed. Because as I like to say, they need to hear from other people, not just some chick in Chicago who's harassing the heck out of them.
An amazing superhero, amazing, incredible advocate and life changer, game changer, all of the things. I am surprised our paths had not yet crossed before this, but I can't thank you enough for the work you're doing on behalf of all the children's lives that you've saved and made better. We just want to thank you for the work you're doing and keep doing it, girl. We are behind you every step of the way. Anything I can do for you, you guys, you have to check this out. It's aaronslaw.org. Her name is Erin Marin, and she is on my list of heroes. Erin, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You guys, we'll see you next week here on Bar Fights.
Thank you for listening to Bar Fights with attorney Sarah Klein, taking on issues that matter. Please check out our website at barfightspodcast.com, Instagram at barfightspodcast, or Twitter at barfights_pod for the latest show updates and archives.